I too would like to welcome everyone in the precious name of the Lord, wishing us all God's richest blessing. We are convinced that the Lord is present, and where He is, there is blessing, there is salvation, there is healing, there is peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. We have already been strengthened by the songs and by the psalm and have gone along inwardly and only ask ourselves whether things are also as they were sung and written there, whether they have become truth in our lives in such a way that we not only sing or hear the word, but can experience and testify to the same things that these people have testified to. But I believe we can do that with all our hearts. We have, without exaggerating, probably experienced more by grace with God than those who sang these songs 200 or 150 years ago or 100 years ago. There has been progress in the kingdom of God. There has been more light, more knowledge, more instruction, more revelation. Everything has increased according to the plan of salvation of our God. Let us come to the word that was read and to other scriptures. I would just like to briefly highlight from Psalm 27 what has already been emphasized. The Lord is my light and my salvation. When He reveals Himself to us, it becomes light around us. He Himself said, "Whoever follows Me will not remain in darkness, but will have the light of life." These are His words, and His words are true. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the light of the world. And only those who walk in His light are followers of Jesus Christ. He who walks in his own ways, walking in darkness, does not follow the Lord. For He has said it, "He who follows Me will not remain in darkness." The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Often we find ourselves in situations where we could be anxious and ask how it should go on and how it should end. And later we realize that all the worrying and all the fretting and all the fear has only damaged our health, brought dishonor to the Lord, but has not helped. The Lord is our help. He is our salvation. He is our confidence. He is our consolation. He is our counsel, strength, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. He is our all in all. Brother Rus has already mentioned it. David had to walk an extraordinary difficult path. One could often ask why men of God have to walk such paths. Let us also eliminate the word "why" from our vocabulary, for it is better to thank the Lord and not to say or ask why, but to trust Him in every situation. Who was it that asked me recently, "Brother Frank, What is the most powerful statement in the book of Job? And I have never been asked this question before. It was probably now in Salzburg. And it was also completely new to me. But as quick as a shot, I just said, we find it in chapter 42, the last chapter, namely where it is written that God restored everything to Job in double measure compared to what he had before. But there are some highlights and of course some low points. But even then, when Job had experienced his low point, namely that the house had burned down and only a heap of ashes remained, and the sons and daughters were dead, and his own wife said, "Curse God and die." And on top of that, he was physically beaten with ulcers from head to toe and could not lift his hands to praise and thank, but had to scratch because it itched. You can read about it. And this man said, "We accepted the good. Shall we not also accept this? The Lord has given. The Lord has taken away. The name of the Lord be praised." In good days, everyone can say, "Oh, praise and thanks be to the Lord." But when everything has turned to ashes and nothing is left, and you yourself are sitting there and outwardly you are also beaten, and then you can exclaim these words, then it is proved that deep in your soul, the faith, the confidence, the love, everything was there to God and has stood the test. It was he who could say frankly, when all the accusers came to him, "I know that my Redeemer liveth." It was he to whom the Lord God spoke in the weather storm, in the thunderstorm, and revealed himself to him. And then you can say, all's well that ends well. The Lord made everything good, made double good what the enemy had destroyed before. And I pick up on this thought. I just want to mention it without reading it from James 5, because there we are told to take as an example the perseverance of the prophets who waited patiently, although they did not see what they were proclaiming, but they fell asleep in the conviction that what God spoke through their mouth would become truth and would come to pass. But then James sums up and sets Job before us as an example, writing, "Look at the end of Job, which God has prepared for him." We will, and this I claim, in like manner, see a restoration in double measure. If anyone reads James 5 properly, he will find a few times the phrase, "The Lord is near," or "The coming of the Lord is near." This word is actually connected with the coming of the Lord. Here, in this word that we read along in Psalms 27, I want to come quickly to verse 4. "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after." What do we seek for? I read on, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord. A true child of God, who is connected to God, will have one main urge, and that will be to be in the house of God, under the sound of the Word of God, to hear what God has to say to us. Whoever lacks this urge, ask God for a new experience, ask God for new zeal, for new devotion, new consecration, everything, so that it may be as the Lord wants it to be. That will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Now just briefly, verse 7 and verse 8. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me, and answer me. When thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. God has made promises. He who seeks shall find. To him who knocks, it shall be opened. O, have mercy on me, hear me. My heart holdeth thy commandment before thee. Not only my lips, but my heart. Man believes with his heart and confesses with his lips what he believes with his heart. That is why Paul could say, I believe, therefore I speak. He believed in his heart and spoke it out. It came over his lips. That is exactly how it must be with us. Faith must have been worked in our hearts by preaching, and then we testify to it with our lips. My heart holds thy commandment before thee. Ye shall seek my face. Therefore, O Lord, I seek your face. We also seek the face of the Lord today. Today we too long to hear his word and to be blessed by him. In view of that, I couldn't help but think of Psalm 117 in the light of what is happening in African countries in particular. Psalm 117, probably the shortest psalm there is, yet very meaningful and rich. Psalm 117. O, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise him, all ye people. For his merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Hallelujah. Not only the people of Israel, but all peoples, tongues, and nations have been included in the salvation of God. And with God, there is no respect of person. He calls out of every nation and tongue, and all who come to him are acceptable to him. Praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise him, all ye people. For his grace is great toward us. I mean that we can say this sincerely. All is grace. By grace we have been saved. By grace we have been born again. By grace, all that has happened to us has happened by grace. Even every revelation of the Word and the Spirit has been given to us by grace. No one has had to make an effort. No one has worked for it. It has been given to us by God, by grace. I would like to read about Abraham, in whom all the nations were to be blessed, were to be blessed in his seed. Paul later explains that this seed is Christ in Galatians. But first of all, I read from Genesis 22. Genesis 22 from verse 15. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time, and said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord. For because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. What a wonderful testimony God has here declared to his servant Abraham. He not only believed, he believed and in obedience did what the Lord God told him to do. And so faith is made perfect by works, not by works of the law, which we do at will, but putting the Word of God into practice. We must put the Word of God into practice if we believe it. And this is done in obedience, when obedience is added to the faith. Then God cannot but bless. And that is what he did with Abraham and with all of us to this day. It says here, And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time. What particularly touches me in all the reading of these events is the fact that God, who is spirit by nature, but who revealed himself visibly, was seen, heard, and experienced. There were people on earth with whom the Lord God spoke, to whom he gave instructions, who had fellowship with him. And when we hear today how people deny God, what would the prophet say? What would Abraham say if someone came to him and said, There is no God? He would say, Keep silent. I have experienced God. I have seen the Lord. I have heard his voice. There in Mamre, there and there and there, on Mount Moriah, and wherever it was, he would say, Keep silent, all you atheists, and ask God to reveal himself to you, for to me he has revealed himself. If we were to call all these witnesses of God, that is a whole army, a whole cloud. So writes the man of God in the letter to the Hebrews, Seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, true witnesses, not false witnesses, who make up lies, but true witnesses who can say when and where they have experienced God, when and where they heard His voice, when and where He revealed Himself to them. Such people have existed on this earth, and such people still exist today. And I wish that all of us would experience God anew, but truly, supernaturally, wrought from heaven by the Spirit of God, on the basis of the Word, that there would be experiences with God in the blood-bought multitude, that no one could doubt anymore, as sure and as certain as they could be experienced at that time. Now the question, can we experience God so certain? Is that possible? Amen. It is possible. And I tell you, whoever belongs to the seed of Abraham, whoever has truly become a believer through an experience with God, will have his experience with God exactly as all those have had with him through whom God has spoken. Only then are we the true seed of Abraham, who has not only heard and believed the promise of God, but has experienced it. God has told us not to swear. It is in the Sermon on the Mount. It is also written in James. But he himself put himself under an oath and says, I swear by myself, thus saith the Lord. He wanted to give Abraham the ultimate certainty, the absolute, and said, I swear by myself. People who believe in three different persons mishear that he did not swear by the one on the right or by the one on the left. He swore by himself, for there was none on the right and none on the left. He was on the throne, and here he visited Abraham. He swore by himself, he the Lord, the living God, and thus gave Abraham the absolute along his way. I am not at all surprised when it is then written, Abraham believed God, and he looked on the invisible as if he would see him, and testified to the things that were not yet as if they were already, and God counted it to him for righteousness. O children of God, seed of Abraham, will we not also accept God's word as our absolute? Shall we not stand or place ourselves in faith upon the promises of God and say, Lord, we believe thee with all our heart. You have not only sworn by yourself, you have established a new covenant. For thus our Lord has spoken, this is the new covenant in my blood. He has a new covenant people, a people who have received his word as the absolute, and being joined with God because of the word, we can stand in faith upon every promise he has made. And we know that God can do anything, but he cannot break his word. The scripture cannot be broken. Heaven and earth will pass away, but God's word remains forever. There may come what will. We have read it in Psalm, what was it, 27. God is faithful. He stands by his word. Then the Lord continues, because thou hast done this thing, not only believed, because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. You all know what this means. It is not the enemies who rule us or conquer us and reign over us, but the divine seed is destined to have authority over all the power of the enemy. We are to possess the gates of the enemies, and we must remember this divine right, and not just let ourselves be attacked and then wail and lament that the enemy has struck again, but as the saying goes, attack is the best defense, that we truly possess the gates of the enemy in the name of the Lord. And when do we possess the gates of the enemies? When the enemies have been defeated, not before that. Before that, they go out and in. Before that, they open and close. But when they have been defeated, then we possess the gates of the enemies. Not only our gates, the gates of the enemies. That means that God has given victory to his people by grace. And you can go back to chapter 13 and 14. When Lot was taken away captive, Abraham set out with some people who were not warriors at all and defeated all the enemies because God was with him and got back the spoils that he had captured. God gave him the victory, and after the victory was fully accomplished, the Lord himself, as Melchizedek, who gave him the victory, went out to meet him with bread and wine to have the supper with him. There will be a victorious and overcoming multitude that will experience the greatest victory of God at the end, to then celebrate the supper with the Lord afterwards, as the Lord celebrated it with Abraham at that time. We are not destined to be dominated by the enemy. We are destined to take possession of the enemy's gates. The Lord has triumphed. And when he says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me," yes, then I ask you, how much authority Satan still has? And I tell you exactly how much, so that you may know it forever, namely as much as you ascribe to him, no more. If you are convinced that he has been defeated, that he has been disarmed, and that all the powers of the enemy have been put in the stocks, and that God in Christ has accomplished the victory here on earth over Satan and the power of Satan, if that is our faith, then this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Then it is no longer your effort, but then joy arises in your heart without effort. Then you look at what God has done in Christ on the cross on Golgotha. And about that, you need to read especially the epistle to the Colossians and the epistle to the Ephesians, that he really disarmed all the powers and made a show of them publicly, triumphing over them. Do you believe that? He triumphed, he conquered. He has even conquered hell, Satan, death. He has conquered everything. Satan basically has no power anymore, at least not over us. Not over us. But unbelief and doubt opens the door for him. And then the great misery begins. That is why we have been called to believe. We have been ordained by God to believe him. For thus it is written, He who does not believe God makes him a liar. Who do we want to believe? We want to believe God. And God has won, and God cannot but bestow by grace the victory he has already given on all those who take his side, who hear his word, who obediently do what he asks of us. And we shall possess the gates of the enemies. Further, it says here in verse 18, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. We know the spiritual reference to Christ our Lord. Let me read there from Galatians 3. Galatians 3 from verse 6. Here it says, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the nations through faith, preached before the promise of salvation unto Abraham. Not just promise, but the promise of salvation, of grace, of forgiveness. God already foreshadowed in the Old Testament, through all these foreshadowings, what would become a reality in the New Testament in Christ. You all know, in this chapter, namely in the third chapter, in verse 16, it clearly states that the seed means Christ in the singular. And we were included in that singular. I read Galatians 3, verse 16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He says not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. I could go to Isaiah 53 and other scriptures, where it is written, when he will give his life as an atonement, then he will see his seed and prolong his days. In Christ, God has made a new beginning by grace. He, the seed, who was already announced in Genesis 3, verse 15, who would come through the woman to crush the serpent's head. He, God in human form, manifested here, born into this world, so that we can be born out of this world, namely through the Spirit of God, to become divine kindred by grace. Let us read on here, or again in chapter 3, verse 6. As with Abraham, he believed God. We have seen, he believed and obeyed. He believed what God said and did what God said. And on this rested the blessing of God. And then God gave him the absolute. Many talk about the absolute in this time and don't even know what they are saying. The absolute is God's holy word, coming alive to you personally as if you were hearing it for the first time, fresh from the mouth of the living God. That it is not a preacher saying something, but that God is speaking directly to us, and we are taking in his word. Then it continues, he believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Tell me, and I tell you, what is imputed to us before God? Any deed that we would have done? What is accounted to us? Faith, but not just a faith, but the faith in the accomplished redemption of God in Jesus Christ. Faith must have a point of reference. Faith does not float somewhere. Faith is anchored. It is the faith of Jesus Christ. It is the faith in the work of redemption accomplished on the cross, which would not exist without the Savior. So the faith in the Lord Himself, in the King of Kings, this distinguishes us from all the others who also say they believe. When the Muslim leader speaks to his people, he addresses them as the believers, and they do believe what they are told. And so we could go all the way from the biggest church to the smallest free denomination and all say, we believe, but who believes as the scripture says? Who believes God? Who acts according to what the scripture says? Who does? Who obeys? Who proves his faith towards God? They say, dear believers, when they go to Fatima, they are all believers, or to Lourdes, or to Altötting, or to Częstochowa, they are all believers. Everywhere believers come together. Yes, but what do they believe? God wants people whom he can address, with whom he can make a covenant. People who believe him, trust him, obey him, who are on his side. God does not want a pious theater here or there. He wants people like Abraham, with whom he can talk, whom he can bless, and who obey him, who believe him. Such people God wants to have, and such people he wants to make out of us. For thus it is written, he wants to make such people of us who walk in his ways. Abraham was such a person, and there were many others who walked in his ways. Again, we especially like verse 8. Here it says, and the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith. Yes, the scriptures foreknew what God predeterminated, and God had it written down so that we might have his testimony and no longer be moved to and fro and tossed about, but actually believe as the scripture said and find our absolute and then no longer be moved whatever may come. These men of God, no one could move them anymore to and fro. They knew who had spoken to them, who had revealed himself to them, who had fulfilled the promises. They knew in whom they believed. I dare to say, we too know in whom we believe. We believe in the same Lord who spoke to Abraham. He is the I Am and who will be for all eternity. So you know, Paul writes, that those who believe are Abraham's sons, and the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the nations through faith. Through what faith? Through the faith in Christ. For he is the reference point of our faith. We preach Christ, crucified and risen. We have the word of the cross, the word of God's reconciliation with humanity, the word, the gospel of forgiveness. We don't just have a gospel, we have the gospel of Jesus Christ. Many talk about the gospel. The Pope does too. but we have the gospel of Jesus Christ. Many say gospel means good news. Yes, but please a little more. The gospel of Jesus Christ does not only mean good news related to Christ. It means the good news that God in Christ has reconciled the world to Himself. A good news that bypasses Christ left and right is of no use to anyone. But this good news of salvation, the message of salvation, that is the good news. And if it is good news and has brought us salvation, then we should also be glad, right? Then we should be glad. If we have experienced God and have the certainty that we have had an encounter with Him like Abraham had, then the good news should make us happy. And the message of salvation should have brought us salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. Paul used the word message of salvation again and again. And it is the gospel, the message of salvation, the good news of salvation of Christ. And then it goes on here. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the nations through faith, preached before the promise of salvation unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. It is written, then we shall sit at the table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and have the supper with the Lord. Who will be these overcomers? A multitude who, like Abraham, believed God and did what He commanded, who obediently or by obedience proved that they believed God, thus giving glory to the Lord. And we see that even in these days, God has called out and continues to call out such a multitude. We are not here to just pass a little time and have a service where there is a little singing and a little preaching. We are here before the face of God and want to have an encounter with Him, to experience Him, to be penetrated by His Word, to be touched by His Spirit, to be renewed, filled, sealed, and to take His Word as our absolute, which becomes flesh in us and goes through our marrow and bone. And no one can take away what God has given us. That's the kind of people God wants to make of us. And I certainly believe that the whole preparation time, which seems long to us, it's an arduous journey, a troublesome way, but it's the way of God to bring us to where He wants us to be, namely in perfect faith and obedience, and to be available for the Lord, and to let Him do as He pleases, doing what He commanded. Jesus said, ye are my disciples, if you do what I have commanded you. You could take many scriptures, but true disciples do what their master has said. For this is what He said, you call me Lord and Master, and so I am. You can read about it. And then He says afterwards, if you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. You can read it. It's written in John 13. God wants to make such people out of us. to whom he can speak, to whom he can reveal himself, who believe him and who do what he has said and who accept his word as their absolute and go forward in faith. I am convinced that the Lord has blessed us today and that his word has not only reached our ears, but has reached our hearts. And today we will truly thank the Lord in heartfelt prayer that he has revealed himself to us as he did to Abraham, that we have recognized God's revelation in Christ, and that is where it begins. And it is written, how should he not with him also give us all things? Abraham, a blessed of the Lord, his seed shall possess the gates of the enemies. We are the divine seed now here on earth, and we look upon the power of the enemy as defeated, and we hold to the fact that Jesus Christ is the victor of Calvary. And we stand on his word, and that is our absolute. And Satan cannot move anything back and forth on that, because it's a rock, a revelation that is not movable. And upon that rock, said the Lord, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. On the contrary, the gates of hell have been overcome. Death, where's your sting? Hell, where's your victory? Thanks be to God, who has given us the victory through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let us rise and give thanks to the Lord together. Let us sing, Jesus is victor. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Jesus is the victor over death. For me, Jesus has won the victory.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I am redeemed through his blood. It is so well with my soul. Hallelujah. The Savior is mine. Hallelujah. How marvelous it is to be saved. Lord our God, God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, you alone true God, alone living God, who revealed himself in Jesus Christ, our Lord. To you we give thanks today in this service, for you have spoken to us through your word. Your word is spirit and life. Your word does not return void, but accomplishes for what you have sent it for. Teach us today to take your word as our absolute and to give you the honor of doing in faith in your name what you have commanded. Receive us, O Lord. Consecrate us to you, my God. Purify and sanctify us. Make of us people who walk in your ways, do your will, experience your power, people as divine seed of faith and spirit, a multitude in whom you can reveal yourself. Lord, we pray for all who are in need, that the lost may be saved, the bound be delivered, the sick healed, and the spiritually sleeping awakened. My God, reveal yourself in your power among your people to the glory and praise of your holy name.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise and thanks be to our God, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen.